Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet and Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Since 1970, voters in Harlem have sent Congressman Charles Rangel to represent them in Congress. Now, he's in a tough battle for re-election in a newly redrawn congressional district with a Latino majority. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. 55% of the voters in New York's 13th congressional district are Hispanic. This is one of the main challenges facing Congressman Charles Rangel in his re-election bid. Rangel was one of the founders of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he's been a leading voice for African Americans in Congress. On Tuesday, June 26th, Rangel faces four challengers in New York's Democratic primary. Congressman Rangel, welcome to the Feet in Two Worlds podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Congressman Rangel, the race in your district seems to be as much about demographics as it is about politics. Since the 1940s, your current district has been represented in Congress by an African American, but in the newly redrawn district, the majority has shifted from African American to Hispanic. Wouldn't it be appropriate for the district to be represented in Congress by a Hispanic person?
That would depend basically on the feeling of the people that are in the district. I can't begin to tell you the number of congressional districts that are represented by people other than majority in that district. While I certainly do appreciate the fact that every group of people should want to see someone that's closer to their color, their complexion, their culture in that seat, I really, truly believe that the major qualification is who would be the best representative of the people in the entire district.
Congressman Rangel, you're one of five candidates in the Democratic primary, but State Senator Adriano Espaillat, who was born in the Dominican Republic, is widely seen as your principal opponent. Do you agree that Senator Espaillat is the person you need to beat?
No, I have to beat them all because this darn secret ballot concept that we have, the person that speaks the loudest or is getting the most money or is working the hardest cannot be told just by our exchanges with the press. And as you know, several political actions committee have voluntarily come in support of three of these candidates, and one of which is the senator, has said he welcomes their money, and they're actually going after me because I have been targeted, and so I don't know what impact that's going to have, except that I do know that my voters are receiving some anti-Rangel literature and support of a couple of my opponents. I refuse to pick out one over the other. It just wouldn't make any sense at all, and I wouldn't know what I was talking about politically. He may be the better known, if the question was framed that way, because I that's the best I can do in direct answer to your question.
Okay. You and Senator Espaillat have nearly identical views on a number of issues. What are the primary differences between you and Adriano Espaillat?
It's big, 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 big. I'm an incumbent. I'm experienced. I have worked with these issues. There has been nobody that has been critical of my leadership in these issues. I have served my district, the Congress, and the country well, and it goes unchallenged. And that people who want to become members of Congress, that vehicle is available to them every 2 years. And a couple of my opponents have taken advantage of this 2 years ago, some maybe 4 years ago, and Espaillat decided 2 months ago that he too was going to participate in this election. And so all I can say is that if we take advantage of the, I call it a resume, of my record of having served with almost total support of my effectiveness from almost every public official and the unions, I really think that I deserve an opportunity to serve 2 years again for my country. And certainly the Congress agrees. And I hope to persuade my new as well as older constituencies that I've done a pretty darn good job. And that goes unchallenged.
So speaking of your newer constituencies, with a majority Latino population in your district, I'm sure your focus must be increasingly shifting to the issue of immigration. And I wonder what your position is on President Obama's recent executive order suspending deportations for undocumented young people who were brought to the U.S. at a young age by their parents.
First of all, my leadership on the immigration issue goes to the first time that I saw in my district newcomers. They were different from the Italians and the Irish and the Jewish people. But what an exciting opportunity it was for me to see the educational process, the school board process, to see Linares become the very first Dominican to get elected to public office. And so it's been just a joy working to make this equitable. And the forces that are involved in this hypocritical immigration system to say that people who come to the United States with the same vision as other people who are really constructively invited, since nobody that hired them was indicted, and that our whole economy as it relates to hotel, hospitality industry, agriculture, are so economically dependent on these people here that we're not going to even think about getting rid of 11 million. And the DREAM Act is a classic example of hypocrisy where we have invested all of this education in young, aggressive people that love and know only one country, that we have been working here in the Progressive Caucus, the Hispanic and the Black Caucus, to persuade the president that there's a lot of things he can do that are being blocked by the Senate and by the Republicans, and this was one of them. And so I just think it makes sense, and I don't see any downside at all. The more people complain that the president acted outside of his authority, the more I think that decent people would say it was the right thing to do.
Now, Congressman, under the president's executive order, undocumented young people can be issued work permits. We know that high unemployment among African Americans has been a persistent problem. Is it difficult for you to justify to your Black constituents your support for a measure that will put more people into the labor market and create increased competition for jobs?
Well, let me be honest with you and candid that this issue has come up at least a half a dozen times, but never by any of my African-American constituents and never by any reporters of color. That there have been certain reporters that believe that the shortage of jobs, that it would cause friction between one group of people and another group of people, and that has not been the case. And I would think that rather than Blacks looking at Hispanics or Mexicans or Puerto Ricans looking at non-citizens, that the issue has to be, what are you doing to create jobs? I've had two job fairs in my congressional district, and notwithstanding the higher rates that we have than the nation with unemployment, hundreds of jobs came out of me being able to pull together hundreds of employers that are actually looking for people. And so it doesn't appear to be to me that that is an issue that will ever be a political issue with me and my constituents.
So you're saying that this question is being manufactured by people outside of the African American and Latino communities?
I don't ever remember using the word manufactured, but nobody is more active in the community than I in terms of town hall meetings, communication with my voters, and that as it relates to my community leaders, nobody said that they see a problem with the DREAM Act or any other thing to have America to protect the rights that non-citizens have with the interference of African-American citizens getting employment.
Because we are running short on time, I do want to touch on one other issue. The House investigation that found you guilty of ethics violations in 2010 does not appear to have been a major issue in this primary campaign. But I wonder what role you think it has played in the race. Has it made you more vulnerable?
That's subjective. And the only real record that I can rely on is the 83% of the vote that I received from my constituents, and also the fact that the committee that reached these conclusions is under investigation now in a multi-million dollar independent investigation as to the conduct of those that reached those conclusions. I'd like to say that it's become ever and ever more clear that the Congress is not prepared to defend anyone that's accused of anything if they believe it's going to interfere with their ability to get elected. And so I would like to move on. It appears to me that my constituents would like to move on. I'm proud of the record. I'm proud of my service. And clearly, in the past, there's no reason to believe that I won't continue to get the support of those that I have served and in respect of those that I hope to serve.
Well, Congressman Rangel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for the invitation.
Charles Rangel is running for re-election in New York's 13th Congressional District. New York's Democratic primary is on Tuesday, June 26th. The Feet Into Worlds podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Justin Mitchell. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Thanks for listening. I'm John Rudolph.
Feet Into Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation,
with additional support from the Cyrus Fund, WNYC New York Public Radio, and the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation.
This podcast was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV.
Feet Into Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or by using the Stitcher Smart Radio app.
You can support this podcast by going to news.feetintoworlds.org and clicking Help Support FI2W.